Okay, last week we were looking at exceptions to Nevuah. In other words, Nevuah, the Rambam says, is supposed to come exactly true. So last week we saw a couple of exceptions. One is Nevuah Ra, if it's Nevuah which is for bad events. If it's Nevuah for bad events, then it doesn't have to come true. Similarly, if the Nevuah Teva, wait a second, if the Nevuah Teva is not exact, defined to a exact and defined, also it doesn't have to come true. And similarly, if it's a personal promise, if the Navi receives, the Navi, wait a second, David, if the Navi receives a personal promise to him, then the Nevuah doesn't have to come true, and that is why Yaakov got so scared. Yeah.
This has bothered me since last week. Then how come you don't know that a Navi who keeps making bad Nevuahs isn't a Navi Shekhar?
Because in order for a Navi wants to know, if a Navi comes to keep making bad Nevuahs, how do we know it's not a Navi Shekhar? The answer is we don't accept them as a Navi until he first proves he's a Navi. First he has to come and prove. First he comes and says, I'm a Navi. So what did Bezin do? Bezin said, okay, so make some predictions for us.
Right.
After he made a whole slew of predictions, right. Now we know he's a Navi. Well, now he comes and says, it doesn't happen. What do we say? You're not a Navi, Shaka.
But what if he's one of those who
comes
last week? Was a Navi before, and now he's a Navi?
Well, you want to know, how do we know that right. He didn't go off?
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know. But the Rambam says at the end of all, when the Rambam's talking about Nevuah, he says the reason why we listen to a Navi is not because we have absolute proof without, they can't be questioned at all. The reason why we listen to a Navi is because the Torah prescribes a way that you listen to a Navi. And if someone fits within that category, just like when two Edom come, two witnesses come and say, so-and-so, Reuven killed Shimon, we killed Reuven, even though it's possible something else happened. It's not, there are times people see something and they miss it. Nonetheless, that's how the Torah prescribes to do things, that's how we do it.
Interesting.
What's the deal with the
whole machloket
between Rambam
about what?
About in his passage.
What's the whole deal? Oh, that's not really directly pertinent to what we're doing.
There's
a number of machlokas, and I don't want to get bogged. I could say sure on that, but I didn't. And I'm not going to right now. And if you're really interested in it, come to me over dinner. And that's like my standard statement. Come to me over dinner, and I'll explain it to you as best. I understand that one. I've been through many times. Okay. And also, this is important, because now the Rambam here is, we're going to really finish off Nevuah finally. We're going to finish off Nevuah. But now the Rambam says, what can a Navi do? What special powers does Navi have that no one else has? So that the Rambam says, a Navi has power of Harasha. Harasha, literally a teaching for time. That means if a Navi comes like Eliyahu Bahar Carmel says, sacrifice now. Sacrifice now outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it was usher to do that. But because he was an accepted Navi, he had the ability to do it. Yehoshua, for example, another example, Yehoshua and Yericho. The battle of Yericho was on Shabbos. Normally you don't fight on Shabbos. Your defensive war you're allowed to do, but offensive war you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But it was Harasha, Hashem told him to do that specifically then, so they're allowed to do it. And there are a number of other examples. There must be at least, my guess is there's at least 20 examples in Nach of Harasha. It could be as many as 50, but I'm pretty sure it's not much more than that. Okay, Harasha again means that the Navi can tell you temporarily we do not have to do a certain mitzvah. What defines temporarily? That is not clear, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. If a Navi says for 10 years we're doing X, and that's what Hashem told me to do, would that be considered non-temporary? I don't know, that's a good question. That's, as far as I know, that's not directly addressed in the Rambam, and it's not directly addressed in the Sefer Torah as far as I remember. And that's an excellent question, but I'm not sure. I don't want more, I could theorize things, but there's no reason for me to spew theory.
Somebody say we don't keep Shabbos for 10 years.
I don't think so. That doesn't. Because he's not doing that. A Navi's not doing it. A Navi, when a Navi issues Harasha, it's not only for our purpose. It's through the known medium of Nevuah. It's not just coming and saying without, just on his own knowledge, Harasha. Okay. Now we're going to go on. We're going to go on now and see a really unbelievable piece in the Rambam. The Rambam says, this Navi, when he commands us what he's commanded us, and we do what he says, if you add on and say, the Tchum Shabbos is less than 2,000 Amos, or more than 2,000 Amos, and he would say that's Nevuah, he would say, Hashem told me, through the medium of Nevuah, the Tchum Shabbos is 1,999 Amos, or 2,001 Amos, he's Chayav Misa. He came on the spot. Got that? If a Navi comes and says,
any more, any less than 2,000.
Any more, any less. And similarly, if a Navi comes and says, there's a machlokas about a certain question. It's a machlokas for itself. There's a machlokas about when the shkia, how many minutes after the shkia is tezer kochavim, is nighttime. If a Navi comes and says, I have a nevuah, the tezer kochavim is X amount of minutes after the shkia, he's chayav misa.
He's
chayav misa
to
say
it.
Wait. Let's go on. The Rambam is going to say something more shocking first. Let's first get like the most shocking statement of the Rambam, and then we go back and explain the whole thing.
Oh.
Okay? The only advantage that Navi has over non-Naviim is with the halacha of Harasha. Harasha, he is not issuing via Svaya. He's not saying, this is what I think. This is the sukkahs of Sasha say. Harasha is saying, Hashem told me that we have a Harat Shah. We have to do this now, at this time.
Did you start this?
Yeah, this is all based on a couple of sukkahs and shahs. We'll see. The Rambam here is saying somewhat of a chidush. Let's go on. One more piece now. But when it comes to learning, the Rambam says he's no different than anyone else. Who kishah chacham Jacob asks, he's no different than anyone else. When a Navi says a smara, says an idea, and a different person who's not a Navi says an idea, and the Navi would say, the Hashem told me that my smara is right, we don't listen to him. If 1,000 Naviim say the halacha is one way, and 1,001 chacham, 1,001 chacham, who are not Naviim, say the halacha is a different way,
you listen to the chachamim.
And the Naviim would claim, says the Rambam, if the Naviim would claim that we're right and the halacha is like us, the chayav misa. The Rambam says, 1,000, there's a machlokes in between 1,000 Naviim, and they say the halacha is one way, and 1,001 chachamim, they say the halacha is a different way. The halacha is like the chachamim, and not only that, if any of the Naviim would dare to say that we're right and the proof is Hashem told us, then chayav misa on the spot. The Rambam brings, wait a second, let's get to the whole thing. The Rambam says, I'll bring you three proofs to this. One is the way the Torah gave us over to decide halacha is rov. Acheram rahatos. We go after the majority. The Torah gave us over rov that shows us that that's the way we decide and we establish the halacha. We don't care. Ruach HaKadosh, Nevuah, is not a mode and medium for deciding the halacha. What? Ruach HaKadosh is...
I feel like you mentioned this the first class.
Yeah, I did, but I'll go back over it again. Ruach HaKadosh is not as strong of a flow from Hashem as Nevuah. Nevuah is stronger, and Nevuah knocks the Navi out under normal circumstances. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get to that. The Rambam talks about that other place, but I'm not going to speak about that right now. Ruach HaKadosh is a lighter flow.
It's like God's overall presence as Nevuah is a meditative state. Is that a way to put it?
No, Ruach HaKadosh, say it up, it's like this. Both in Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah, there's a direct connection from, it's Kivayacha Hashem speaking to the Navi, or to the Baal Ruach HaKadosh, but the amount, view it in like, it's a combination of qualitative and quantitative amounts. In Nevuah, it's a higher quality and a higher quantity, ki'ilu, that is to say. And because it's so heavy, the Rambam holds as a rule that any Navi who receives Nevuah, except for Moshe, was knocked out by it. That's the Rambam holds a rule. other Rishon, there are some Machlokes Rishonim about this, but I'm not going to talk about this. I don't think we're going to get to that in this year. But Ruach HaKadosh is a lower level, quantitatively and qualitatively, and because it's not as thick and heavy, it doesn't knock the Navi out. He's able to maintain.
Like Abraham and
what?
Like they were all better than Abraham and Moshe.
Who's they?
Better.
Why are you saying better? Now Moshe is the greatest, and after Moshe is everyone else. Yehoshua is number two. Moshe, Yehoshua, and then everyone else. No, Ruach HaKodesh is a lower form. Nevuah is the highest revelation, the highest connection to Hashem. Afterwards, Ruach HaKodesh, and afterwards, Basco.
What about
Avraham? Chazal state that the greatest Navi, the Pesukim state, and Chazal echo that, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi. And we're not going to, I don't think we're going to get to. I think, there's a lot of interesting things in Rambam's, and we're not going to get to that. I'm going from when we finish this, when we get to the Rambam the Gerizim came on, and when we finish that, then we'll figure out what to do. So maybe if we finish that, and there's enough time, if there's only a small amount of time, we'll do some, really highly entertaining small letters of the Rambam, where he addresses all sorts of fascinating issues. We'll probably do that, but I will see exactly how much time. Chanukah, I'll really know. I'll be able to give you a better estimation. What about Avram? Avram, of course, was very great. We're not, in a certain sense, Avram has his own claim to being the greatest. The first is always has a certain claim. But in terms of Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a completely different target. On the other hand, Avram is Chen Yaakov Amos. Moshe's guy in Av. It's complicated, David. And, I say, you could either come bother me over dinner, or come to my house for Shabbos. I'm happy to explain it to you. But right now, we have to go on. Okay?
But don't forget.
My rule is, if something's bothering you, you should write it down and come by on the letter. That's what some people have done.
Alright.
Okay?
I'll do it.
Okay. Okay. Rambam's first proof is Acher Rambam Al Acher Rambam Gahatz. That's proof one. Proof number two is, the Rambam says. Proof number two is. When the Psukim say who to go ask, it says if you have a question in Torah, who do you go ask? It says, you go to the Kahan and the Levim, who will be in those days. It doesn't say you go to a Navi. From the fact it tells you when you have a question, what to do, go to the Kahan and the Levim. The Rambam says we see from that when we have a question in Halacha, we don't go to a Navi. We go rather to someone who is learned. Proof number three, the Rambam says.
The
Levim are assumed to be learned, correct. Proof number three, the Rambam says, we see in Shas a number of times that when there's an argument and someone brought a proof from something, Min HaShemayim, the most famous case is the Tanur Shalach Noi, a famous story of Tanur Shalach Noi in the end of the fourth parak of Avatziah. They were arguing about a certain Tanur, a certain stove, is it Tami or Tar, or Belezer is Natari the Tanur. And he brought all sorts of proofs. This should move, that should move, everything's moving all over the place. Finally, he says, a kol should come out, a baskol should say, I'm right. A baskol comes out and says, Rosh is right. What are you arguing with him for? Don't you know that he's right? The Chum said, no way, Rabbi Shemayimi! Tell us down Shemayim, tell us down here! And we decide to tell him, and the Rambam says, we see from all this, that. The Nevuah, that we have to say, we decide via halakha decisions and not through Nevuah. That's the Rambam. Now we have a question. The question is. No, first I want to go on. So I'm going to come back to the question in a minute, I think. Let's first. I'm sorry. The question is why? The Rambam says that a Navi is chayiv misa. If the Navi says the halakha is like me and the proof is I have a Nevuah, the Navi is chayiv misa. Why? Where does the Rambam get that from?
I said
why it can't be, he can't be right. He can't be right because we have to go off the road. He can't be right because the Torah tells us to ask Kohanim Levim. He can't be right because of the rule over Shemayim. But why does that make him Chayav Misa? Why does it say, why do we kill him? So he said it. Maybe he didn't have the Nevuah, but why is he Chayav Misa? So Zach's saying he's an Navi Shekhar. Question is, okay, you're right. The Rambam says he's an Navi Shekhar, but why is he an Navi Shekhar?
Also,
Okay, you're right. He's going against Elohim. That's all right. But the question is why. So the answer is a puzzle. You're the wrong reason.
Maybe
you
trying to change halacha.
Yeah, but you're not. But someone who normally tries to change halacha in an inaccurate way, he's very wrong and very frowned upon. But he's not. We don't kill him on the spot.
If a navi tries and says you shouldn't do this anymore, then we.
Okay. Wait a second. You're good. You're saying good. You think you need to know the pasuk. You have to know really that the Ramban and Chumash is not sure about this question. The Ramban and Chumash says he's not sure. The Rambam learns, however, just like the pasuk says, it says actually, Eli here it's speaking about a navi who comes and tells you to worship a avodah zarah. The Hanavi Hahu Al-Cholam Hahu Yumas. That Navi or that person who had a dream should die. Ki Diber Sara Al Hashem Al Kecha Motzi Eskam Eretz Mashayim Vapotu Pebezavon. Because he spoke Sara. What's Sara? Sara Rashi says, Dever Hamusar Mida Alam Shvahaya Vla Nivra Tzivisiv Vladabrike. Something which is removed from this world, it wasn't. It was never created, cannot be, and I would never command to say such a thing. That's Dibur Sara. Sara is something which cannot be. And the Rambam therefore understands, because the halachic decisions are not made through the medium of Nevuah, therefore by definition they're Sara. The Pasuk says, anytime a Nabi says something which is Sara, which is impossible, he's Chayav Misa. The Rambam says, because the Navi cannot receive these halachic decisions via the medium of Nevuah, when he says it is Chayav Misa. We clear? Okay.
When we say, if he says anything impossible, is that with regards to this topic or with regards to any topic?
Anytime the Navi says something which cannot be, which is either being mevatel, negating a mitzvah, telling you to do a vadazara even temporarily, or rendering halachic decisions via the medium of Nevuah, he is therefore, by definition, said something sara, which is impossible.
What is the example of something that's impossible about that? Like, is he saying like the sun's going to crash into the moon?
If
the Navi would say, a Nevuah shag, you're asking.
Is it impossible, or is it something that's impossible that God could tell him?
It's something that's impossible for God to tell him. Okay, next. Next piece. Okay, we started out, and I hold these Rambams are connected, just so please listen. These Rambams are connected, and the Rambam is going to go on. We'll see at least one more example of this. The Rambam, we saw in the very beginning of the Rambam says, quotes, the way that Yehoshua and Pinchas learned, it's the same way Ravina and Ravashi learned. The basic methodology of Torah has not changed. That's the Shitas and Rambam. The basic methodology, Talmudic methodology, is not a changed thing. It was around in the times of Moshe, Yeshua, and Pinchas learned, the same way Ravina and Ravashi learned. Now, these two Rambams are definitely conceptually connected. If Nevuah was, if you would argue with the Rambam, and there are Rishonim who argue with the Rambam, by the way, if you were to argue with the Rambam, then it's obvious that before, in the time of Nevuah, there was a different style of learning. The Rambam who says Nevuah cannot be used to machriya, to show what the halacha is like, that's the Rambam. The Rambam is conceptually related to that. So we said earlier that the basic methodology of Torah learning has never changed. Because the basic methodology of Torah learning never changed, therefore, that's true, that is dependent on that which the Rambam is also saying, that Nevuah is not used to learn Torah. Clear? Basically?
But then how did Moshe get all the
books for? Okay. Now that is a sort of directly related question. You want to know? Yeah, wait a second. So first of all, there's two ways to answer. One is a more simple answer that was only changed. Rabbi Shemayim, he is a pasuk in the Chumash, and that was only changed after the Chumash. Now, there's a different way to answer you, and I'm going to say it over in a brisker Ramdasha fashion right now. Rabbi David would love this, and I wonder if he knows the Shtigal Torah. But, Rabbi David, I have to ask him if he knows it. I actually heard it from Reb Chaim Ilson about 25 years ago.
Oh,
Right. Revilsim from Revilsim Tishim. I'm not going to tell you over the whole thing because it's way too long. It's a very long, very, very interesting piece. And I'm just going to tell you the final, you know, the final conclusion is Moshe's Nevuah, as the Ramdanim say, it's a different Chetz of Nevuah. Even though, in other words, it says in Chazal that Moshe's Nevuah is Mespakari in Ira, and other Nevi'im is Mespakari Sha'en in Ira. Moshe's Nevuah is absolutely clear, and the other Nevi'im's Nevuah is not absolutely clear. So, it's not clear, does that mean they are the same species of Nevuah or not? So the Ramdanim want to say it's not just he said it over in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, but I saw the same thing virtually. I saw the same idea in both in Emes LeYaakov from Yaakov Kamenetsky, and I also saw it in Pachad Yitzchak from Yitzchak Huttner. So it's like a lot of different people had the same idea. That Moshe's Nevuah is a different. It's the same type of Nevuah, just more clear. Quotes, it's a different, as the Ramadan say, it's a different Chetz of Nevuah. It's not that enough. You remember Rechmanship? Yeah, okay. Okay, sounds like Rabbi Rechman would say something like that. It's a different Chetz of Nevuah. Okay, I can explain that also. It's also like a long explanation which is beyond the scope of this class. But assuming that the Ramadan are right, that it's a different type of Nevuah, it's an absolutely different. It's a different medium of Nevuah completely, then your question is not difficult. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is not the same Nevuah as every other Navi's Nevuah. Okay, that's it. Okay, now we're done with Nevuah. Now we're going to go on to see how the Mishnah was written, and we're going to start, we're about to start Machlokas. Now the Rambam is going to one of the key issues that's going to come up soon is Machlokas, and the Rambam is going to throw out morsels about Machlokas, and also about the Chibur HaMishnah, how Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah. Okay, the Kashem is after Yeshua died, the Skenim who in his life kept on learning new things, new Halachas, and they didn't have any Machlokas. And when there was a Machlokas, they usually didn't have Machlokas, and when there was a Machlokas, they paskin with Rav, as the Pasuk says, all the days after the Skenim after Yeshua, things were very good. And afterwards, the Skenim, we went on from the Skenim to Nevi'im, sort of like it says in Avos. Now, this is a very key quote in the Rambam. The Ein Zman, the Rambam says, the Ein Zman, there was never a time that there wasn't contemplation in Chidush and Yonim, and new concepts brought out of Torah. This is again, that's what I said. The Rambam says Talmudic methodology has not changed. It has not changed. The way we learn has not changed. The Ein Zman Shlaisim is part of these people was thinking in Torah and being Mechadosh things. Now, this is a very basic attribute of Torah.
I won't
look at it
before.
What? What are you doing? This is a very, very basic attribute of Torah. Okay. This is a basic attribute of Torah. Torah is an alive, ki'ilu, I don't know if I want to use words, organism, but Torah is alive and is supposed to be alive. Torah is alive. And because Torah is alive, it's like, and it exists as almost a being, it's not static. And it's not that the halacha was ever given over in a dry, static fashion. Rather, Torah is alive and always alive, and that's why Ein Zman Shlaisim is born in us, the Chiddush and Yonim. Like we see in the beginning of Tehillim. Asher Isha Shavahach Ba'atzah Shoshan V'derech HaTamu Amad V'moshe V'eshen V'eshe V'eshe V'eshe. Happy is the man who does not go in the ways of an evil person, and if he doesn't go with the advice of an evil person, and in the way of a sinner, he doesn't stand. And with the group of mockers, he doesn't sit. King b'taras Hashem chavtzo, his desire is in God's Torah. With the sarasa yehege yom l'ayil, and in his Torah, he thinks day and night. So there's a Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara Kiddushin, Rashi brings it over here in Tehillim. First, the Gemara wants to know, why does the Pasuk in Tehillim originally call it Teras Hashem, and afterwards Teras? If the Pasuk says, Kim B'Saras Hashem Chavtzo, Is it God's time? Is it His desire? It should have said, "Masayos Hashem yehegei yomim v'layla." And in God's time, He thinks day and night. So the Gemara in Kedushin says, the reason why is because before a Talmud Chacham, before a Torah scholar thing works in Torah, it's God's Torah, it's Torah's Hashem. And after He works and develops it, it's not only God's Torah, it's Torah, so it's also His Torah. And that's a basic attribute of Torah. Torah is not, it's just like this and that's it. That's not what Torah is. Torah is alive. It's moving, it's not really changing, it's just we are perceiving more and more Torah when we work on it. Torah Hashem, Torah, I say it's this is like sort of a very yeshivish joke, but I don't know if you're, I don't know where Eric Mordel is, so he's not going to not get this joke, but it is a yeshivish joke like this.
Is it like a Rebbeinu's joke?
No, this isn't. You'll hear this one and see. This one, I'm not sure if you get. Hopefully, you guys will get it. If not, look. You want to sit and learn, and you want to learn, you want to know why you can't learn. As long as the Torah is Hashem's Torah, it's not your Torah, you're not going to be able to work on it that much. As long as you leave the Torah by God, Torah is Hashem, okay, that you're not. Doesn't say, yeah, 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 you could think day and night constantly about Hashem's Torah. Torah is Hashem, you can desire Hashem's Torah. I mean, yeah, you want to be able to work on it, it has to be your Torah. You have to acquire the Torah, and you have to have your part in the Torah. And when you have acquired Torah, and you have added on your own perceptions, understanding to the Torah, that's what is Yagayam Malaiva. Because as long as it's just Torah Hashem, you're not going to be able to work on it that much. But Torah says, not Torah Hashem, Torah Hashem's nice, it's over there. Torah says Yagayam Malaiva. Okay, now, that's one side of things.
So that's a joke?
That's a milsa b'dichas. That's like a joke. Yeah, I didn't think you were going to get that one. I didn't say it in the right. There's a way to say the punchline a little better.
What? So what's the punchline? Sorry.
The punchline is, see, it's really, you have to do this one in Yiddish. It's not going to be a joke. It's like a chopper. It's not really a joke. It's like a poke.
The
poke is as long as it's Hashem's Torah, you're not going to be able to work on it day and night. You're just going to leave it on the side. When you make it your Torah, that's when you're going to make it. That's when you're going to work on it day and night. That's not really pshat. I'm saying that's like a joke. Okay. Fine. I didn't think you would get it. Okay, let's go on. Let's go. Okay.
I don't think anybody
decides
to speak Yiddish.
What? Say it again.
You speak Yiddish?
Now, Rabbi David speaks is much better than me.
No.
I could, if I had to, I probably could. But my problem is everyone I can speak Yiddish to Yiddish and two in Yiddish I can speak to in English or Hebrew. Okay, let's go on.
You're officially Manny, by the way.
So we're going to see now the other side. You know, the first mitzvah in the Torah, for those who don't know it, is Seichel. The first mitzvah in the Torah, this is a different story, which I'm not going to say right now. Don't. The first mitzvah in the Torah is Seichel. That's the story with the Altimus Chabankim. I'm not going to say that one. The Torah is a fact. What does Seichel mean? Back in the old days, we didn't have to think about it. Seichel means Seichel. What does Seichel mean? Common sense, right? Common sense. What is common sense?
Logic. Knowledge as imparted on the majority of people.
What?
No, it's like knowledge that most people have.
Knowledge that most people have. Well, the thing is, today a lot of people don't have a lot of knowledge, so I don't know. No, common sense means properly balancing the different factors that are, pertinent to a certain issue. That's what common sense is. It's really unbelievable today we have to figure out what common sense is, but that's what we have to do today. Today, back in the old days, people had a lot of common sense. Today, people don't have any common sense. I mean, here. The other side of the coin is, as the Rambam says, that now we're going to balance it out. One part of Torah, okay, come on. Come on. One part of Torah... We're back on. One part of Torah is Kiddush. And there's another part, integral part of Torah learning, and as the Rambam says, V'hayu chachmei kol dor nesivim dine kameyem ikar, v'hayom yemehem mechanchim in yavim. This is a basic attribute of Torah. We take what the earlier generations have done and assume they are right. And not only that, we hope we can learn from them. We show them say something, we say, well, that's what it says. And we break our heads to understand what Rashi's mind wants, what the Rambam wants, what Reb Chaim wants, what the Pnei Yeshua wants. We assume they knew what they were doing. Part of that is there is a chain of Torah learning. And we know who our teachers were and who their teachers were. And from that we understand if they said something, it's worthwhile figuring it out. Now I'll give you like a very, you know, like example from Milu Da'ama, from other issues. I was once reading an article by a chess journalist who's also a grandmaster. And he saw from, you know, it's not clear exactly when chess was invented. That's a very difficult issue. Anyone who says it was invented by Shlomo Melech is probably wrong. There's a Jewish folklore about that, by the way, but I really don't believe that at all.
Was it invented by Hashem?
No. Okay. So he read a number. There's one of the earliest, you know, written things about chess is written by a Persian fellow who was in Spain in the 800s. This is the earliest, from the earliest clear references to chess. And this guy says he read a certain chess problem the guy wrote. And first he looked at it and said, oh, this guy doesn't know. He doesn't know anything. And then he analyzed it more and he saw it's a very deep problem. And then he saw two or three other chess problems that this ancient Persian chess journalist wrote. And each one of them he felt was extremely deep chess problem. So now he came on to a fourth one, which didn't make sense at all. But the problem is it was unclear how the queen moved 1,200 years ago. That was like, in other words, the guy gave a chess problem which made no sense. The thing is this guy wanted to theorize, this chess journalist, Hans Rieger. What?
No sense today or
not? No sense according to modern logic. Now, we know today the queen moves wherever she wants. And before the queen moved wherever she wanted, she moved one square in any direction. This fellow theorized that in Persian chess of 1,200 years ago, the queen moved diagonally one way in any direction. And with that theory of his, this guy's chess problem again was absolutely brilliant. And he says, he says, listen, you know, I already saw three or four times where this guy had like a you know, unbelievable brilliance in his chess problem. So I know that no question at all that he knows what he's doing. And he has another chess problem, there's gotta be something deep here. And my only question is how did the queen move? And if my theory is right, then this chess problem is another example of his extreme brilliance. So I say the same thing's true. You know, when we're learning, you have to understand the same thing. You know, there's so many times you see, I'm like bowled over by Rashi so many times. Rashi looks like so sweet and simple. You know, that's what you think Rashi is? Rashi is unbelievable. Chiddush, he just says things over and over, over and over. Throughout Shas, Chumash, Nach, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what Rashi does. So that's a yisub. That's a, because we know that we understand. We understand. Sorry, that's a dinner question. We understand the greatness of the earlier rabbis. We also understand that, you know, the parallel to that. When they say something, we take it very seriously and we work on it. So that's the balance. On one hand, there's chiddush. We've tried new perceptions, try to understand the Torah as best as we can according to our knowledge. The other side of that is there's a very conservative part of Torah, which is we take Divrei HaKodem, what the earlier rabbi said, we assume is true, and we even learn from it. Okay. Okay, so now everyone got together and they were learning, kept on learning all the way through the times of the Nevi'im. Finally, we get to Ba'al Sheni, and we have Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the most famous ones, of course, the Nevi'im mentioned in the Mech, Chag Ezechariah Malachi, Taniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Ezra, Hasavah, Nechemiah, Mordechai, and Zerubbabel. Those are the most famous ones. And there are other ones who are not quite as famous. And it added up to 120 people. And of course, the other last famous one was Shimon HaTzadik, who was the youngest and the one who survived the longest. And they kept on learning. They kept on learning, and things were just going on and on. Torah learning was going on and on through the ages. HaKasher Yizma, now he's coming on, very interesting piece in the Rabbah. He's coming on to talk about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, we know, is the Mechaber. What?
This was from when?
This is coming now, the Rabbah's going. Since we have Torah going a constant, always with Chiddush, new things coming up, new approaches to them, but still remaining faithful to all the principles of Torah, going through the ages. We're going all the way through Bayis Rishon. Now we're starting Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, Sanchei Knesset Gedolah. That goes all the way to Rebbe. Rebbe is about 100 years after Bayis Sheni, and he's going to write down the Mishnah. Now the Rambam here gives a very, you know, poetic and beautiful description of who Rebbe was. Rebbe was a very unique person. Hayayachid b'dor v'achid b'zmanah, a very unique person.
Rebbe
Yehuda HaNasi. He's a person who had everything in him. He's also called Rabbeinu HaKadosh.
No,
we don't. That mamash not important. And as Chazal say, not only was Rebbe great, he was also a very wealthy person, which meant he was able to devote all of his time to learning. He didn't have to waste any time doing anything else. Wow. And not only that, his Yerush Shamayim, which is a very important thing. And not only that, the times, for those who don't know, in the times of the Mishnah, and even in most of the times of Bais Sheni, what was the spoken language in Eretz Israel?
Aramaic.
Everyone spoke Aramaic except for Rebbe. In Rebbe's house, they spoke Lashon HaKadosh. And not only there's a famous Gemara, I believe it's in Brachos. Maybe it's in Rosh Hashanah. It says Rosh Hashanah. I thought it was in Brachos. The famous Gemara in Brachos, in Rosh Hashanah, he says they weren't sure what the word the titeh matateh hashmed. What's a matateh?
A broom.
So there you go, you know it's a broom. So they weren't sure what that meant. They came into Rebbe's house and they asked his maidservant, what's matateh? And she told him, it's a broom. She said, swept the floor and said, this is what it is.
Why didn't he write the Gemara in Hebrew?
No, he wrote the Mishnah in Hebrew. Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, not the Gemara. Because Rebbe had all of these great attributes, he's the one who wrote the Mishnah. The Mishnah is written in a very pure, beautiful, every Hebrew. It's not pure Hebrew like Tanakh Hebrew, but it is a very pure, clear Hebrew. The Rebbe only wrote the Mishnah. The Gemara is written later. The Gemara is written in... See, the Gemara... The exact way the Gemara is written is unclear. The Rabbi's not going to speak about it, so I'm not either. But, you know, that's, you have an open invitation to bother me about it. It's not 100% clear. Okay. Now, what does the Rambam want over here? The Rambam over here wants what I would term Hashkacha. Not only Hashkacha, he also wants to show you the Brisa Torah. You know, the reason why, Rambam doesn't say this, and I'm like sort of adding this on my own. There is a promise that Torah is never going to be forgotten. There's a promise. It's a promise from Hashem to the Jewish people. Torah is never going to be forgotten. So because of this promise, the Torah is never going to be forgotten, that's why Rebbe was the right person was sent to the right place in the right time. It was the reason why they had to write down the Mishnah was because they saw the persecutions in the Roman Empire was slowly getting greater and greater. They felt it was important. That it was important to write down Torah Shabbat Peh, even though normally we don't do that. So, At an emergency times you're allowed to do things you're not supposed to do. Normally, the original intent of Hashem is to b'chsav is b'chsav and b'alpeh is b'alpeh. What is written is written. What is b'alpeh is b'alpeh. That was the original intent. But because Eis Lasos Hashem Mefarat Torah, there was no choice. Rabbi had to write it down. And because it was important, because of the Bris of Torah, we shouldn't forget Torah, Hashem B'Hashkacha made sure that the right person should be there, and that person was Rabbi Yonasi, who was a great Chacham, who knew Hebrew, etc., etc., etc. Okay. Now let's go on. I think we need to get one more piece, at least start the next piece here. Okay. V'kasher kalo adeus et vart. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he didn't just start writing. You know, some people, it depends who you are. Some people could do this. Some people, I have a friend, he's Rosh Kol somewhere. He says, yeah, Mishlei is a nice sefer. I like to say shir on it. He says, you ever learned it? Yeah, but it looks very nice. I like to say shir on it. I can't do that. I don't know how you do it. Some people could do that. I can't do that. I don't think that Rebbe started. Okay, I'm going to start writing. Let's see what we have. That's not what Rebbe did. First, he gathered the kasher kol hadeis v'dvarim. He gathered everything together. After he had gathered all the material together, then he started writing the Mishnah. Hecha v'chaber ha-Mishnah. Then he started writing the Mishnah. Shikola karelas perush kar mitzvus atzum utai. That includes everything that's written in the Torah.
Before his time, how much was actually written?
Now, that's very, very, very good.
There is
some material about it, but it's unclear.
What
about Brises? Brises?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go on a little, and then I'll explain Brises. Mehan. Some of them. What did he write down? Some things, says the Rambam, are kabbalas mikubalas mipi marsha alav shalom. Some of the things in the Mishnah are perushim, or explanations, which we got from Moshe. Mehem derech shotzim, some things are not things we got from Moshe, rather derech shotzim, but derech svar v'enirem machogas. There's ways to learn Torah, there's legitimate ways to learn things out of Pesukim, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not say everything, but he gave methodology. With that methodology, we're able to learn things out. Some of the things in the Mishnah are things which are learned out. Some of them don't have machlokas, some of the things weren't out. And sometimes there is machlokas and some of them weren't out. If we know there's a machlokas, he'll bring these two opinions. This one says this, this one says that. And Ram's going to explain later on. We're going to see it's going to take a couple of weeks till we see that. But I'm going to explain why is it, if there are generally rules in Psak, why does the Rambam write two opinions? So the Rambam is going to say a very interesting idea about that. I don't think it's next week. It's not that far off. Okay. Now. Okay, now I'm going to start the next piece, even though we're not going to be able to finish it. Okay? Okay. I'm seeing everyone's ready to do it. You can't get dinner before 7 o'clock anyway. Okay. The Rambam wants to know now, we have a rule. It says in Chazal, the Kol Torah Kula is given Kol Torah Merukal Sera Pronto Sera Dikdukam Sinai. We say the Torah is given to Moshe Sinai and that includes all the things said. Why is it that some things are called Halacha Moshe Sinai and other things are not called Halacha Moshe Sinai? That's the Rambam's question. Sometimes some things we call Halacha Moshe Sinai.
They were in the Mishnah.
What?
Is this like in Gemara, don't we come up with things that weren't in the Mishnah, so say, oh, it's Halacha?
Very good, very good. The question is, again, some things are termed by Shas as Halacha Moshe Sinai, and other things are not termed by Shas as Halacha Moshe Sinai. Does that mean that some things were said in Moshe Sinai and others weren't, or not? And when do we exactly apply that? Okay, now, I'm going to go on one more step, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to continue next week. Step one, the Rambam says, step one, yeah, that clock's 2 minutes slow. Step one, the Rambam says, This is a very important idea in the Rambam, which we'll talk about more next week. When something was explicitly said to Moshe at Sinai, whether it's a perush, whether it's explanation, or a Kabbalah, or just that's how it is, there's not going to be machlokas about that. That, the Rambam says, is an open fact, that things which were given clearly over to Moshe, there's not going to be machlokas about it. Why not? Because it's not really possible, if Moshe told us that this is, you know, whatever it is. One of the Rambam's examples is Esrog. Priyetz Hadar. It says in the Chumash, Priyetz Hadar. Priyetz Hadar is Esrog. No one doubts it. There's no machlokas about that. Why? There's no machlokas about that. What? No, there are different types of Esrog. The Esrog Temani, is Esrog this, Esrog
that. Is it like Tudapin and Sukkah?
Oh, okay, okay. Excellent. The Rambam is going to, that is one of the Rambam's key cases. And the Rambam is going to explain that Gemara very clearly, but that's not this week. That's where we're going to get onto that next week. Anytime something is clearly said to Moshe and Sinai, no machlokas. Okay, let's just see. For example, the Rambam says, Rambam gives like four examples of things which must have been perushim said to Moshe and Sinai, and they're not halacha Moshe and Sinai. Ayin ba'ayin. Says in Chumash, ayin ba'ayin. Eye for an eye. There's no machlokas everywhere. It's clear. There's no opinion in the Mishnah or the Brisa or anywhere which says you put the guy's eye out. And you know what? The Pasuk Pshat, the most simple explanation is you put the guy's eye out. Similarly, Esrog. Everyone agrees Esrog, Priyetz Hadar is an Esrog. I know the Gemara. We know the Gemara. Don't worry. We'll get to the Gemara. Hadas. It doesn't say Hadas on the Torah. It says Eitz Avos. There's no question. Eitz Avos is Hadas. Similarly, it says V'katzel says kap. It says 2 minute fighting, and one guy's wife gets in and beats the other guy up, cut off her hand. There's no machlokas that does not need to cut off her hand. We don't find a machlokas anywhere, not a Mishnah, not a Braisa, anywhere. Why not? Says the Rambam. Says the Rambam, it must be in all these cases. The Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly said that this is how it is. When it says katzel says kap, it does not mean cut off her hand. Rather, it means knas. Yes. You have a good question. If it doesn't mean put the guy's eye out, so why does it say it that way?
Even I can understand eye for an eye, right? It's a concept, an eye for an eye, but the one cut off his hand. Cut off her hand is pretty clear. You're reading it.
Okay, very good question. And I believe the smarter says But I'm not sure. But I know by ayin ba'ayin he says. He says ayin ba'ayin. If ayin ba'ayin means money, it doesn't mean he actually put the guy's eye out. So why does it say? The Swan says that's what the guy deserves. But the Torah doesn't want you to do it because it's not really fair in each case. Gemara talks about that. Similarly, katzosos kapa. I think the Swan says the same thing. Why do you say cut off her hand? You don't cut off her hand because she deserves such a thing. When you, because katzosos kapa is bullshit. It's when you embarrass a person. When you embarrass a person, embarrassing a person in Chazal is equated to killing them. So when you embarrass a person, you deserve a really severe punishment. And because you deserve such severe punishment, that's why the Torah says it in such a, almost exaggerated way. Fine. That's what I called you.